We've got to be thankful for those who enable us to do what we do. And I just want to say thank you to all those that have worked on the media desk this morning. The computer has been playing up big style, but we've made it through. And I feel exhausted already, and I'm sure you do as well. Well, Geth, a big thank you to... Now, Linda's not here this morning. She's in hospital with one of our children. But she spends hours doing those edits. Those songs are going through my head like you wouldn't believe. Over and over and over again. But she does an awesome job. She just loves the kids and she wants to see the best for them. And she does an awesome job when she does this. And I just want to publicly thank her for that. And to the children as well who did a great job. So we're reaching this time of year where it's Christmas. It seems to go on forever and ever, doesn't it? It starts very early and it just goes on. And sometimes we can be bombarded with it and we lose the significance of the actual event that we're here to celebrate. And sometimes we find it just hard to make that connection with God because it seems so commercialized, it seems so really out of our hands in many ways. And so we just want to focus a little bit on who God is and what he's done for us through this amazing gift of Jesus Christ. One of the great aspects of our God, the God, is that he lives by grace and love. And that is a great thing. And what we're experiencing when we look at the Nativity is the grace of God. It's giving to humanity something which really we don't deserve. And the songs try and celebrate that. They try and focus our attention on all that God has given to us so that we can worship him in spirit and in truth because we understand what's happening. The great thing about grace is it means we don't have to be somebody to receive what God wants to give to us. So we're living in a culture, in a world where celebrity status seems to be the number one thing sought after by many people around the world. It opens doors, it brings popularity, it brings a feeling of self-importance, that kind of, oh, everybody loves me, and I am now of value. And everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be of value. And in reality, we only find that through coming into a relationship with God himself. See, people who are seeking self-importance, people who have authority, people who have any status in this world are no closer to God than everybody else. We all face God with the same need. We need sin to be forgiven in our lives and grace to be imparted through God. I want to talk about the wisdom of God this morning because the wisdom of God is not like ours. And that's sometimes quite difficult for us to understand because we think in a particular way. We think wisdom as in human wisdom. And then God says things like this, we find in Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so we come to a God who operates just in a different level than we do. His thoughts, his ways are not the same as ours. I think over the generations we've become an intellectual being. As we have developed our knowledge and our skill base, we have intellectually moved away from who God is. We've kind of put him on one side and we can't imagine how God works. Because we think in a particular way and we can't assimilate that information about God. And so the wisdom of God is different than ours. And I love this verse in Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians 1. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligent of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. The foolishness of the cross. How can one... Where's the other one? So the cross, to those who have been saved, is power of God working in our lives. But to humanity, it's foolishness. How can one man dying save anybody? It defies human logic. But we're dealing with God's thinking and God's wisdom here. If we look at the birth of Christ, it doesn't make sense that the Saviour of the world will be born in such circumstances. Born to a single mother, born in an insignificant place, born into a humble family who became a carpenter through his youth and into his adulthood. See, if you're born to be king in this world, you're part of a very exclusive club. You would have to be an offspring of the royal family. You would live in privilege that is in sort of line with your status. And if you weren't looking for a future king, that's where you would start your journey, in one of these families. In their humanity and wisdom, the wise men went to Herod first. That's where they went, to the royal family, to find out this newborn king. And so in God's wisdom, he did exactly the opposite of what we would imagine. In a world that needs salvation, our human logic gives us the wrong answers. When the rulers of the earth apply the wisdom, chaos exists. And we just have to look around the world, don't we? If politicians and rulers knew what they were doing, the world wouldn't be in the mess that it's in. That's the application of human wisdom. Wherever you look, there is dissatisfaction, frustration, starvation, war, and an imbalance of wealth. All this brings fear about not just now, but about what's going to happen in the future. Human wisdom is failing the earth. If we ask somebody to choose somebody to save the world, who would we look for? Well, we'd look for some kind of superhero, wouldn't we? Someone who could defeat the enemy through power and strength. And we see it in all our sort of entertainment areas, that we're looking for Superman, super person, that person who can overcome all the enemies. God, in his wisdom, chose an ordinary girl from an ordinary family in an unlikely location in the weakness of humanity, experiencing life as we do. No superpowers, no skills, no position of authority. Jesus was born a man like us. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says this, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and despised things and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom of God. That is our righteousness, our holiness, and redemption. Therefore, it is written, let anyone who boasts, boast in the Lord. So God chose the lowly things of this world to nullify the wisdom of mankind, to expose those in authority and challenge their thinking. We find that Jesus was rejected by those in authority. In their wisdom, they couldn't understand him. They didn't get him. And he really challenged them. The reaction from the religious leaders ultimately led to Christ's death. Maybe they thought they knew better. maybe the tradition of thousands of years was going to be crumbled away, and they were trying to defend tradition. Maybe they were going to lose their authority as Jesus talked of a personal relationship and contact with God. Or even they would have lost their jobs and the wealth and the status that came with it. Jesus challenged the authority of leaders at the time of his life. One of the Jewish ruling council came to see Jesus at night. I'm sure we all know the story of Nicodemus. He came at night. We can speculate about why he did that. Maybe he didn't want to be seen with Jesus. He was hiding out the way. But he came to ask about the kingdom of heaven. He recognized in Jesus that there was something different about what he was saying and how he was saying it, and he wanted to ask about this kingdom of heaven. He must have listened to Jesus, and he was responding to it. Jesus made a statement that brings clarity to our movement from the kingdom of this earth to the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. Nicodemus didn't even understand what that meant. What do you mean? Have I got to be born a second time? In his own wisdom, and he would have been an intelligent man, he would have had a lot of knowledge, he didn't understand what Jesus was saying, and he was trying to work it out. But the humble, the poor, the simple people received salvation willingly. They had an open heart. They had a connection with God that allowed them to access his grace. Jesus did say to his disciples, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Those who thought they'd made it in life, those whose dependency was on their own hard work, those who trusted in wealth, those that trusted in position, struggled to understand the wisdom of God because it directly opposes our thinking. The wisdom of God always challenges our thinking. And that was the challenge that Jesus brought through his birth and through his death, was to bring the wisdom of God to the earth so that it was accessible by all people, not just those who were privileged. As we reflect on the birth of Christ in all its ordinariness and simplicity, we do see the wisdom of God at work. It confounds the wise of this world. It challenges culture and values, but it displays all that God is. God wants to be accessible to those who are seeking him, whether rich or poor, and through what seems to be poor methodology, encounter wisdom that's made a way for us to receive the kingdom of heaven. We must be humble enough to accept that we must be born again and accept that the cross to us is the power of God working in us. It confounds our wisdom, but when we put our faith in it, we are transformed. The role of the church, those that are being saved, those whose lives have been transformed and who God's power is working in, the role of us as church is to display God's wisdom, to say to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places, we are his trophies that demonstrate to Satan and his dominions that wisdom, the wisdom of God, works. That the power of God working in us overcomes the power of sin and death, and it's what we celebrate each Christmas. So as we go through this period, you know, the simplicity, the ordinariness of it, the wisdom of God is displayed. He makes it accessible to all of us, to everybody in the world. You don't have to be somebody to receive all that God has for us. It's an amazing gift of grace to this world. And we do celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the meaning of Christmas. We celebrate the gift of Jesus Christ and all that means to us. And we're here to display that wisdom as we live our lives, saying it does work. You know, if we trust in God, if we put our faith in him, it works. It demonstrates God working in us, and we become a light to those around us. We carry the story of the Nativity everywhere we go. So that's what we're celebrating each Christmas, the wisdom of God that operates through grace. So have a great Christmas. Be blessed.
enjoy being together, enjoy family, enjoy all that you're doing, and remember that this is the wisdom of God, and it's an amazing gift. Thank you.